recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got it on the judgment, but oh, woo! Yeah, man. Woohoo! Yahoo!
Conan. You're telling me a Conan story.
Yeah, first I'll tell you the show is brought to you by Zoom.us, and then there's Lifelock.com, promo code Adam. Conan is interesting. You and I did Conan, and then you and I did Conan again, or I did Conan again alone.
I think I may have done it alone in 2002 also. I think we sort of went back again on our own.
Yeah, as I recall. And the story was then it was when was 9/11? 2001?
Yeah.
I was walking through the streets in New York with Jimmy Kimmel, and we'd just done the Hugh Hefner roast
right.
In New York. Boy. Seemed like less than 2 weeks after 9/11. District where the Twin Towers were, it was still smoldering. Mm-hmm. Like when we got through. Mm-hmm. I remember, Drew. I don't really think you have too much of this in you. I don't have any of this in me, but the people, like I can remember me and Jimmy, and we were like driving to LAX. Mm. And we're just driving together, and we're going to fly together out there and blah, blah, blah. And we were on the phone, I think, with James Baby Doll Dixon. And he's like, you know, it's 9/11. I mean, This is a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal. And everyone's kind of freaked out.
Yes.
And everyone's, you know, whatever. And people are announcing, like, I'm taking a bus to Chicago next time. I'm
people wouldn't congregate. Remember, they wouldn't go into groups.
I'm not going anywhere.
Well, people would cancel, like, shows.
And I'm not going to the airport. That's for goddamn sure.
Right.
And we were, Comedy Central was doing the Hugh Hefner roast, and the show must go on, and we were flying to New York. Like, not a whole lot of people flying to New York just after 9/11, but we were. And talking to James Baby Doll Dixon, this is a weird thing. Now, I don't have this, but I'm curious about those who do. It doesn't seem to be connected to intelligence. Mm-hmm. But we were like driving to the airport, and Baby Doll was like, oh boy, you're going to the airport. Boy, I wouldn't fly. And we're like, well, we're on our way. And he's like, yeah, listen, I just canceled a bunch of dates for John Stewart. And above my dead body, you're not getting on an airplane. Is he nuts? And I'm like, yeah, well, we're heading to the airport.
I value that John Stewart.
But it's like, I wouldn't
have a nice flight, guys.
Oh, boy, man. I got to tell you, I wouldn't go anywhere near it. And it's like, I'm like, we're on our way to the airport. We're not asking you for your advice about potentially traveling. Yeah. We're telling you it's done.
Yeah.
This is the difference between holding up a picture of a bad hairstyle and going, what do you think? Should I do this? And then you coming home from the hairstylist and going, here's what's on my head. Two different approaches to that.
Yeah.
Why don't, how come huge swaths of people don't have that gear?
I know.
Or they don't understand it at all. Like, I've screened at people. They've already got the haircut. They're not asking you. Just tell them it looks great and go in the next room.
Yeah.
There's nothing you're going to do here. You're going to make the person feel bad, but other than that, there's nothing. We're heading to the airport. We're not going to turn around. What? Why are so many people wired that way? And again, it's not mean. It's not an intelligence. It's not anything.
Their emotion is coming out of them. In other words, they're so anxious that they are just not contemplating how this emotion is landing. It's just coming out of them.
Speaking of landing, I'd like to land in New York.
Yeah.
And
you and I had a funny story with that kind of thing too. Roberto Clemente. Remember that story?
Yeah. That was a crazy story. Well, anyway. Yeah. So we go do the Hugh Hefner roast. Mm. Jimmy and I are walking around New York. His phone rings. I did Conan maybe a year earlier, and it was a funny appearance, but Conan didn't like it.
The one by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And neither did a few audience members.
What did you do?
I just kind of mixed it up with some of the folks in the audience and sort of busted some chops. And Conan was kind of pushing his chair away from me, like, that's what he's saying, not me, everybody. Right. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And Now, to me, that's a good guess, but I guess to him, he didn't like it.
Right.
And so when we were back and they're out of New York and they were desperate for guests, and guess who wasn't flying to New York? Everybody wasn't going to go to New York. So now they're scraping the barrel trying to keep their – they need two guests, three guests a night, and no one's there. Everyone's freaked out.
Yeah.
So Jimmy's phone rings. And it's the people from Conan. And they're like, you're in town. You did the roast. Can you do Conan tonight? And I think Jimmy and I are walking. And he's like talking to him on the phone. And I think out of half loyalty and half laziness, he just said, well, I'll do it if Adam does. Me and Adam will do it.
Right.
But I don't want to do it alone. And I just thought he didn't want to prepare all that stuff.
Right.
And it's just, it's easier for both of us to go out there and wing it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we don't do teams.
Oh, except you and I had just done it 2 years before.
I said, wow. Like, this is a really good excuse for everybody but me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. This would work on virtually anybody on the planet except for me, because I've done the show with my team as my partner before. So I thought it's one of those weird things where you know, Hollywood gives those kind of answers out all the time.
All the time.
And it's good 99.999% of the time, but you're having to be talking to the one person.
Yeah, you're going
to
hit it wrong once in a while.
Who did the show with his other partner and knows very well you do teams. So they lied and said, we don't do teams, because they didn't want me back on the show. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jimmy did it. And that's the last...
last Conan.
That's the last Conan. Yep.
So one thing you and I, a couple things you have talked about. We have not talked about Michael Jackson. I'm not sure we're going to get it to this week. But the other thing was I wanted to discuss with you was the swastika red beer cups in Newport Beach. Did you see that?
No.
So some screwball.
That's my high school's district.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to step on it, but
please.
I never saw anything like that.
Right. So,
like,
so
there's a ton of Jewish kids in Newport, and we were all really cool with them. The few black kids, it was like a badge of honor to be
friends with.
So
what there was, all right, let's describe what it was. A picture, an Instagram live with a red beer cup, you know, the solo cups made up into a swastika, with kids laughing and saluting, sort of Hitlerian sort of salutes around the periphery. Sort of being screwball effed up kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gary's going to find that for us. But my first take was, okay, everybody, did you not learn from Smollett? Did you not learn from the Lincoln Memorial? There's probably more to this story, right?
I guess. Although this
– So there it is.
The thing about all these stories is they all sound like almost nothing to me because of what I did in high school.
Right.
So while everyone else is like – flabbergasted that part of the football initiation involved teabagging. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a Wednesday. But he held the other guy down. He put a scrotum in his mouth. Like, oh, I wish we'd thought of that.
I mean, that didn't happen to you?
We're doing many versions of that, but no, I didn't physically do that one. But put it on the list in case someone builds a time machine.
So there's the picture.
Right.
And
it's a picture of all right. It is 3 foot by 3 foot. It is a swastika made up of double wide party red cups.
Right.
And a bunch of kids standing around it doing the Heil around
it. My take was, look, these are not white supremacist kids. These are kids making issue with those kinds of people, I would imagine.
There is a game that Matt here sent me a couple of years ago where – and it's possible this is what they're doing. I have no way of knowing. But there is a game that has all these rules that is called Nazis versus Jews beer pong, where on the other side of the table you have a Star of David and there are an equal number of cups, and then there's all these novelty rules that are humorous, maybe to some, probably not to all. So it's possible that on the other side of this table, there's a Star of David that simply didn't make it into the Snatch.
So there it is. Mm-hmm. Now it starts to make sense, right? Not
in
good taste.
I don't know. I mean, it's
that's a game.
That's a tough call.
We used to do a game.
Do you see any beer pong balls out there or anything? Can you see any hints of that?
We don't see a ping pong ball, but it's kind of hard to tell. But
the cups on the side, the red ones, those are the water cups that have balls in them.
The balls are there. Okay.
We can't see them. I'm sorry. I'm just assuming from my extensive experience with beer pong.
We play a lot of beer pong calls.
The question is how did Trump force them to do this? Because that's the only story, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the story?
I guess.
Because it's so weird. You know what Drew, I know we always do this kind of thing of like, does this exist or not? But like, when you hear politicians make speeches now, and I was listening to Hillary Clinton, she was in Selma making a speech, and she was like talking about like our democracy's hanging on by a thread and people are living in fear and all this kind of stuff. Is that the way they feel? I don't know. Like I'm not experiencing our country the way she's experiencing our country or way she's reporting.
I think they have to create a crisis if there isn't one.
Well, didn't the Democrats control the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't they just all get voted in 3 months ago?
The House. Yeah.
Well, how's that done under the boot of Stalin? I mean, how? What I'm saying is if famously. A million years ago, Lynette announced she was scared of me, and I just started laughing and went, oh, goddamn, I wish that was true. God, it'd be the greatest day of my life. That'd be awesome, because then you would do things I told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is – how do you take over the House, and it's under the regime of Stalin, who's holding everyone down with his jackbooted thugs? Like, how do you – does everyone get voted in, and then on the Democratic side? I'm just curious, like, is it a dictatorial regime? And if it is, then why not act that way? Why not do it? So it's not, what I'm saying is sort of like Lynette saying she's scared. Like, it's like, I was like, well, no, you're not, because all the stuff we'd ever talked about that you never did, you would have done, because that's what you do when you're scared. Like, there's things you do when you are.
They got to create a crisis.
Do you guys want to hear some of the other rules with this game?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Actually kind of funny. Okay, so it's a 3-on-3, 30 cups per team. The Nazis shape their 30 cups into a swastika.
Is that 30? It's got to be up at 30 cups, right?
Don't know. I can look in a minute. Right. The Nazis start the game off with Blitzkrieg.
It's more than 30.
More than 30, yeah. I'm looking at it.
Okay. The Blitzkrieg. Nazis start the game off with Blitzkrieg, and each player on the Nazis shoots until they miss, but this is only allowed for the first volley. The Jews have the Anne Frank cup, and this allows them to pick any one of their cups and hide it anywhere in the room, but it has to be shootable. The Jews can only do that once per game and can be used only during their turn. To equalize this slight advantage, the Nazis have another ability called Auschwitz. With the ability, the Nazis can pick any player on the Jews team and have them sit out the game until the other two players on the Jews team each make a cup. After that happens, and the third person on the Jews team can play again.
Wow.
Wow.
Matt used to play Spin the Chai when he was in the ninth grade.
Spin the Chaim.
But this is just a Chai.
Next level.
But this is a whole different game here.
So
what's the hubbub?
Well, so I discussed this on the radio, and I assumed there was some explanation.
By the way, I'm getting vertigo, Gary. You got to take this picture down. Yeah, like it's Dutched, like we're at the Riddler's lair on Batman from
the original Batman.
The original Batman,
66 Batman on TV. Yeah. And a therapist called me, and he went, you know, don't dismiss this so fast. He said, I've seen a couple kids in Orange County, these kids that are sort of on the fringes – are getting preoccupied with Nazis and Nazi uniforms and Nazi architecture.
Well, Hugo Boss.
And they're becoming Holocaust deniers.
Yeah.
And there's this weird fringe in Orange County, apparently, that of kids that are just enamored. Have you seen
not
this?
Not just kids. I mean, there are pockets of Orange County. Huntington Beach comes to mind.
Yep.
Like, there are pockets where that whole thing has always been. The whole white supremacy thing is like a real thing. My brother, My nephew, my brother-in-law, was walking around Target with my nephew, and my nephew's very white with blonde hair and blue eyes. And some guy made a comment to him about what a good-looking young white boy he's got there, and it was very clearly, overtly, like, you know, join the cause. Glad you got an Aryan, you know, kid.
Huntington Beach.
Well, there's a couple.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer's territory, like Fountain Valley.
That too. That's right. But I mean, that touches Huntington Beach.
Couple things. You know, people go, why are there so many more school shootings? And my answer is because there's more school shootings. Mm-hmm. That's how humans and life works. You can't sit around, you know, why are so many young girls cutting on themselves? Or why is there so many kids transitioning? They're all transitioning now. You get a group of five couples together in L.A. and three of them have kids that are transitioning. I was like, why? Where did this come from? What'd we do? Change hormonally that much? You know, what's everyone allergic to peanuts for in the last 10 minutes? Because it is. Because we never stop talking about it. You can't expect to turn on the news and hear everyone call the Nazi every single news cycle, all day, every day, and not expect more of this manifestation.
Have you ever heard of Godwin's Law?
It could go no other way.
Look up Godwin's Law, Larry, and read me what Godwin's Law on Wikipedia. You'll love this. It's called Godwin's Law.
I've heard of it, but you can refresh me. Here's what I'm saying. Everyone's obsessed with the OJ trial. So everyone watches the OJ trial for 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then people start sitting around like talking, like instead of saying, hey, bud, I want you to come to my office. You go, hey, meet me in my chambers, you know?
Right.
And then they go, instead of telling everyone, we're taking a lunch break, we're taking a recess,
using the term sidebar all the time.
Right. So stuff gets out into the lexicon, mm-hmm. and it just gets pushed and it gets pushed. How many times have you heard the goddamn word problematic in the last 3 months? Like, I find that problematic. Mechanical engineers would use the word problematic, yeah. but I never heard it out of a politician's mouth.
Oh, there are cultural
and now
trends.
it's just on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're going to call everyone a Nazi all day, every day, well, then don't be surprised when kids start doodling swastikas when they're bored on their peachy folders.
And as a way of rebelling, too.
Or just doing it because it's constantly there.
Well, Gary's going to read us the definition of Godwin's Law after a second. But first, I'm going to talk about Zoom. Oh, my God. Zoom is the best. It's the web's best-reviewed video conference service used by millions. I'm one of them. One-on-one, meet one-on-one, or hundreds at a time. Connect face-to-face across town or around the world. It is flawless video, clear audio, instant file sharing. They've really got the video conferencing thing figured out. And I use it just for the audio sometimes. It's just great. You can connect through any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone, conference room system, Zoom video conferencing, Zoom rooms, Zoom video webinars, Zoom voice cloud phone systems, state-of-the-art tech at your fingertips. These guys really have figured it out. You can see multiple people on a screen simultaneously. You can share anything you want, PowerPoints, whatever. Visit Zoom online and set up a free account. Don't know how we do this, but we do. Try the most affordable and reliable video communication solutions available on the market. It is Zoom. Meet happy with Zoom. All right. Godwin's Law. It's about Hitler and the internet.
Godwin's Law is an internet adage asserting that as an online discussion goes longer, the probability of a comparison involving Nazis or Hitler approaches 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a conversation, a dialogue, some sort of dialectic on the internet, there's a 100% probability if it goes long enough, Hitler will be referenced.
Yeah. Well, so if there's a if there's a show mm-hmm. and the show has a popular – and the show's popular mm-hmm. and the family and the dog owns Border Collies, the family in the sitcom is popular, then guess who's going to sell more Border Collies? There's going to just be more Border Collies.
And 101 people, Dalmatians? Dalmatians went up.
That's right.
Yokiro Taco Bell? Chihuahuas went up.
That's right, sadly. Now, people go, well, what is this? And it's like, well, I don't know what it is. People watch. Can it go any other way?
Right.
That's the way it works. That's why in between the sitcom, so in between the Big Bang Theory, Pepsi spends $500,000 to do a minute spot because they want to show you their product.
Mm-hmm.
So you can what? Jump through the TV and drink Pepsi or just remind you to go get some?
Right.
That's how we work. So we're living in a time where the president of the United States is called a Nazi. Everyone's called a Nazi. Can't call everyone a Nazi all day, every day, and not expect it to manifest itself in some form. So I'm actually surprised, by the way, that there's as little of this as there is, considering that's all we talk about.
I mean, of people...
These kinds of... I put the cups and the swastika and stuff like that. I would actually assume there would be more. You know what I mean? It's like the number of legitimate hate crimes versus the amount we talk about it versus the society that we've... that we report on, it's a pretty small, that the number of actual gay bashings there are versus the amount we talk about it, there's not that much that exists in that those kinds of proportions. If, by the way, get ready for a sniff.
All right.
If the product that they were advertising on all the NBCs and ABCs and MSNBCs and CNNs, if the product they were advertising was actual hate crimes would pull off their ad dollars. You guys talk about it till you're blue in the face and we're not moving product. If it was an actual campaign, if this was a product, if hate crime was a cola,
yeah.
And you just bought ad buys on MSNBC, nonstop discussion of your cola, and almost no units actually sold. The next year, when it came up time to buy ad space, you wouldn't put a cent into MSNBC.
So does that have
powerful?
Yes,
powerful. Sadly, I have to announce that my own stuff is powerful, but powerful.
It's kind of where it goes,
but powerful. Others in the room.
Powerful. Gentlemen.
Powerful. Powerful.
Very
powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Some runny noses out there. So is there a political repercussion? Are you implying that people are going to be voted out or voted in, or there's some sort of version of that that is reflected in politics given the lack of efficacy of the constant refrain?
You can only, as I mentioned, as I yelled at Lynette in the kitchen the other day, it's like, I live in SoCal. When I was in high school, I heard about the killer bees were coming.
Killdozer was coming. Forget the killer bees. We had the devil coming for us.
That was an alien that
really?
Took over that.
All right, bad run. Or what about the dogs?
Drew, may I finish my thought?
Go ahead. Okay.
Or would you like to
just ramble about things coming
from the 70s? All you right. Remember. You're going to find, by the way, when you get old, real old, you're going to be a goddamn mess.
First of all, A, how dare you?
You're going to be like that.
Wait, how dare you? Secondly, you were careful in how you stated that. You said when you get old, I mean real old.
Well,
fuck you.
you're plenty old now, but I mean, it's already
you get old, I mean real old.
Well, it's already starting to show. The cracks are starting to show in your game. But when you get real old, you're going to be insane because obviously the libido is still going to be there.
Oh, geez. I'll be one of those old men grabbing.
You're going to be like groping and grabbing, and every nurse going to have to wear a tearaway skirt in order to get away from you. But you're just going to jump in on every topic and everything that jumps, that leaps to your mind.
Now, don't ever say I don't listen to you carefully. When you get old, real old.
real old. I said that for the kids over
there.
What was I saying? God damn it. Oh, killer bees.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, or I was in high school, it's like killer bees. They're coming through Mexico. They're going through Texas. They're gonna be in California in a number of months. You know, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
They killed a rancher in El Paso. You know,
right.
Killer bees. Now here's what I'm talking about. The first killer bee story I heard had me concerned. Like, oh boy, I spent a lot of time outdoors.
Yeah,
this could be an issue.
Yeah.
Then I heard another Killer Bee story about 6 months later.
Right.
Then I heard another Killer Bee story. Right. And about the fifth Killer Bee story where I heard, hey, they're making their way to Cal. I just shut the radio off because you use too many Killer Bee stories and I never saw a goddamn bee.
And to be fair, they didn't just do five stories. They did hundreds. And then when people started shutting off the radio, they had to move.
Mm.
Do you remember? You know what they did next?
Mm-mm.
No longer killer bees.
Africanized
bees.
That's right.
And that's when they picked it up again.
That's a
hate
crime.
And then doubled down.
But guess who stopped listening?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to call everyone a racist, homophobic, misogynistic. You think people aren't people are already shutting the radio off. You can scare people with killer bees, and you can scare them for a pretty prolonged period of time, but it's not forever.
I call it the reefer madness syndrome.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Trying to scare people with reefer madness, eventually they go the other way, actually.
Yep.
Young people especially.
All right. Let me tell you what isn't madness. LifeLock. Reduce your risk of becoming a victim of tax scams. Don't log into bank accounts on unsecured Wi-Fi networks. Don't prepare or file your tax returns on public computers. And remember, IRS employees won't email you. So do not click links and emails claiming to be from the IRS. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2019. The way you're going to get ripped off is not going to be your car stereo stolen or your TV stolen from your house. Someone's going to go online and they're going to steal your identity. There's a problem. Well, if there is, their agents will work to fix it, but there won't be because you got a LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Securities can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for 10% off.
Mm. All right. What do you got, Drew? What are you thinking about?
Well, I was thinking – well, let me do Luke Perry real quick. I was thinking about Michael Jackson, but that's too big a topic for us today. And certainly that will be worthy of the next show, whatever. But you had Bruce on talking about Luke Perry. You didn't call me.
I think we tried.
And I think – no. And the
– or
maybe it was during my radio show.
Yeah, I think there was something like that.
But anyway, he probably had a bleed.
Talk to Chris.
I'm gonna kick his ass.
No, I mean the discussion was we need to get Dr. Drew or Dr. Bruce.
It's fine. Don't worry. Listen, but the
Nobody
point is
cares.
We still don't know what happened there, and I'm
right.
suspicious that it was a bleed. I'm wondering if Bruce had the same impression.
Yeah, I think he seemed to go there.
Bleed rather than stroke.
Bleed rather than a burst.
Clot than a clot. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He said usually you see this in like drug addicts, but
not. Well, thrombotic events, yes, but not 50-year-olds. You know, they don't have this, and the bleed too. You can have the bleed with the drug addicts, but congenital events, hypertension, untreated high blood pressure, aneurysms, that kind of thing can set up. I think what happened here, and I heard he had a second stroke, so called, like just before he died. And that really suggests an aneurysm bleed because what happens is the brain gets crushed by the blood, and that's really where all the damage occurs. But then also the artery spasm tightly, and it can cause another stroke.
So, yeah. Did you know him?
No, I just met him a couple of times. Couldn't be a nicer guy.
Heard that story a lot. That yeah. is super nice. I never crossed paths with
Very
him.
Very sad. Very much of an unusual and weird situation. Just weird.
I don't. I'm trying to think of why. I guess 90210 had ended about the time I started. What
TV.
Year did that end? 96 or something. I feel like I used to watch 90210 and like 91.
We got to know some of those
was.
Folks, didn't we? From that.
Yeah, and we got to know some of the Melrose Placers.
Yes,
we
May 2000.
It ended.
May of 2000, it ended.
Final episode, correct.
Huh. I wonder why he never came on MTV or Loveline.
Neither he nor the other one. What was the other guy's name? They never came around. Like Shannon Darrett, isn't she on that? She came around.
Yeah. There was like Michael Calabro or something. Remember that guy? He was Melrose Place. He was like Doctor.
Yeah. I do remember him now. Yeah.
is it like Michael Calabro or something? Something like that. Wow. It's amazing how many people have been on and off of TV in the period of time we've been around.
I know.
It's crazy.
Ridiculous. Speaking of old.
It's a ridiculous business we're in.
The only comedic piece of that, I don't mean comedic product, though it happens to be a comedic product, was our friends over at Mad TV, who would announce to us every year was the last year. And they did like 12 seasons.
Deborah Wilson.
And they would go, no, that's it. That's it. This is it.
Wilson must be.
I had her on HLN a couple of times, too.
She must be like a black activist now, right?
I would think.
She like was kind of crazy. She's got to be going the D.L. Hughley, Malcolm X route. There's got to be. It's got to be. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to see.
I haven't heard from her, though.
I don't know, but it's bizarre to see people transform at a advanced stage. Mm. I don't mean old like you. I just mean like
advanced stage.
What I'm saying is like D.L. Hughley at 45 was D.L. Hughley. Yeah. At 51 is Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Like, or at 50 with D.L. I don't know how old he is. It's a weird to transform at that age.
I got to talk to him.
Do you feel like there's like a neck tattoo in your future?
No.
Like a couple of piercings and a whole change of wardrobe?
Now that you're challenging me.
Well, how old is D.L. Hughley? And I mean, he's 56. At 50, he was just D.L. Hughley.
Yeah.
He's Malcolm X now.
It looks like Deborah Wilson may not have gone down that road. It looks like she was still working in entertainment as recently as like 2010. She married someone in 2006. They separated in 2010. But
I had her on.
She's actually got credits going all the way up to 2008.
Look, I had her on
HLN. I liked her.
I had her on HLN a number of times in 2012.
She appears she's been steady working as an actress.
Yeah, she was great.
You know, all the way up to last year is her last credit.
What's the part where you become somebody else mid part of life?
I don't kind of like it, though. Why not? Why not?
It feels spurious.
It's certainly not something we're used to. You usually become more of whatever you were. You don't become something brand new.
I tend to think it's a cash grab. It's now you become a spokesperson, you know. There's a version of this like guys do it in the car world all the time. Like they're not really car guys, but they made themselves into the car guy.
Yeah. I mean,
cash them checks. You know what I'm saying? Okay, thank you for your insights.
I was going to say I've changed my views on a lot of things. Good. Surprisingly lately.
Change
them. That's why I don't bring it up.
Change them quietly now in the room, would you please?
All right.
Do not change anything in front of me.
Talk to us about Terry.
Not Taco Bell material. Stand-up special at Chassis, CHASSY.com. Like, we're doing it for ourselves, the ladies.
Right.
We're doing it for ourselves, sisters.
That's right.
So let's do it. You go to iTunes as well and shoot me a tweet. I'd love to hear what you think of it. And check out our friend Heather Dubrow's World. Great podcast. And she's interesting. We'll talk. Her husband's interesting, too. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live dates. What do you got, Drew?
Everything's at DrDrew.com. Check out Dr. After Dark. You'll like it.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Say it. Mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.